Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Joel Block.
And I'm Jorge Salazar. Millions of people worldwide explore and socialize in the virtual worlds of video games, such as Second Life and World of Warcraft. These virtual environments might also be places where real science is done.
We spoke with game designer Jane McGonigal of the Institute for the Future in Palo Alto, California. In 2004, McGonigal helped design the alternate reality game called I Love Bees to help promote the very popular game Halo 2.
Players worldwide work together in I Love Bees to solve puzzling problems with little direction.
And it can be seen in projects such as the user-driven encyclopedia Wikipedia.
McGonigal calls this approach collective intelligence, where many people come together and use technology to tackle tough problems. I spoke with game designer Jane McGonigal at the 2007 meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Dr. McGonigal, I'd like to ask you about a statement that you made earlier today to the media about how virtual reality can reinvent the process of science. Could you communicate to the public? What did you mean by that?
I'm interested in helping to create what I would call a massively multi-citizen science, taking the idea of massively multiplayer gaming, where you get tens of thousands or millions of people committed to exploring a virtual world together. We want to apply that to exploring the real world together and exploring the scientific data of the real world together. The idea is to capitalize on a couple trends. The first is the increasing popularization of science. So there's lots of programs now where amateur scientists can contribute to scientific research. So you have something like SETI at Home, where you're analyzing radio telescopic data, things like Folding at Home, where you're analyzing protein folding algorithms that cause disease, and that's a sort of distributed supercomputing project. You also have a movement towards the open sourcing of science to make science research more public. Right now, you have to pay to access scientific journals, or you have to be a member of certain scientific organizations in order to read research. So there's also movement in science now to make research more open so that people in more countries and at lower levels of education can at least have access to this research. So I want to combine that movement towards popularization of science and making science more public with these collective intelligence tools that are popping up online to help massively multiple people join forces to solve a single problem.
Could you talk a little bit about the demand for these efforts? I mean, do people who play these games want to do this? Do the scientists want the people who play the games to want to do this? Who's involved here?
Sure. So there's demand from both sides, actually. So among alternate reality gamers, there's a definite feeling that they are learning real-world skills in playing these games. They're learning collective intelligence skills, collaboration skills, open-ended problem-solving skills, and a kind of network literacy that they want to use in the real world. I just finished my dissertation at UC Berkeley about these kinds of games, and one of the areas I focused on was what happens when the game ends and the players want to keep playing. And there's lots of evidence that when the game is over, they start looking for real-world problems that they can investigate. So the gamers are definitely open to the idea that a game can change reality and actually interface with reality. From the scientific research end of things, there are a couple problems that are popping up in lots of different research programs that seem to cry out for this kind of intervention. So one is the problem of staying abreast with current research. So there are more people entering scientific research programs, more journals popping up every year. It's growing at a really fast rate. So the ability to read all the research that's out there and to look for research that informs yours or refutes yours or to help you avoid duplicating experiments that have already been done, the scientists need a way to stay abreast of this, and they can't do it alone. So the idea that they could use amateurs to do pattern recognition and look for connections across disciplines, across different research programs, is a sort of widespread problem that this could solve. There are also research projects that want data at a scale that is impossible for a single research institution to collect. So if you wanted to do climate change research, you could use these gamers to go out to tens of thousands of cities and collect data that you as an individual research institution would not have access to. that's another problem that we're seeing research institutions and groups like Citizen Science in the UK and Citizen Science in Canada are asking the public, please contribute, but they don't necessarily have the interactive framework to motivate public participation. So that's something that games can solve, because games, as most people know, can be very immersive, very addicting. So the idea that you could use that game design to capture public interest and reward public engagement with science is very attractive to scientists who've otherwise had a hard time getting that amateur participation.
And what might a project look like? Is there something on the burner right now?
There are things you can look forward to, but not that I'm authorized to speak publicly about now. So I would say general areas to look for in the near future are creating a game that will analyze databases of cancer research and look for patterns across different fields of cancer research. A game that would involve environmental data collection combined with kind of geocaching, and a game that would help train AI programs to have a more natural knowledge foundation.
One final question, please. What would you tell a science teacher about these efforts to involve gamers into the scientific process, considering that possibly most science teachers might think of virtual reality and stuff as distractions, as things that really aren't connected to nature, to the reality?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the key thing about alternate reality games is that they don't use traditional gaming software or hardware. They use everyday communication platforms and everyday online software. So they use things like, you know, Wikipedia and Google Earth and Amazon Mechanical Turk, all of these existing network programs that are going to be increasingly important to science practice as it becomes a sort of amateur public project. So when you play these games already, even though there's no actual science content in them, you're learning how to use the tools and technologies that will be crucial to being part of a public science project in the future. So it is completely connected with the reality of practicing science. It's exactly the same software and hardware that you will need to use as you engage in a more collaborative science.
That was game designer Jane McGonigal of the Institute for the Future. This has been an Earth and Sky presentation.
We're at earthsky.org.